there is not a whole lot that is cooler than having a podcast episode go out and talking about sales. Well, we talk about anything you want, really, but like in this particular case, sales, and have somebody reach out from the audience and say, I want to talk more about sales. I want to learn more. And that was the case this time when we had some folks reach out to us talking about how do I get involved in learning more about sales as a startup company. The guests that we had on here recently talking about sales are a little bit, I guess, built for more longer in the tooth companies that have money. Not to say that the next guest does not need you to have money. We all need you to have money. But it was a little bit more focused on startups. And so we reached out to our friends over at Sales Assembly and Venture Scale, Jeff Rossett and Matt Green, and we invited them in here to talk a little bit about how their program actually works with startups, early stage startups, and those that are, you know, able to fund it, but not necessarily at the level of, say, you know, like our previous guest that is requiring, you know, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 to get through the program. So this is my conversation, long overdue, with Matt Green, who actually for once joined my friend Jeff Rossett from Sales Assembly and from Venture Scale and from CLA and from he's from like all kinds of stuff. So hopefully you guys enjoy this conversation and learn a little bit about sales. Last time we had you guys in, obviously talked a lot about, well, definitely Jeff, we talked about Sales Assembly and where things were going, and we had mentioned the fact that Venture Scale was about to announce its first co-op. You finished that up.
Right.
Yep. You've managed to grow intense beards in the meantime, so I'm looking forward to what all the co-op and Venture Scale is and what the first co-op was and the lessons learned from it, and then let's talk a little bit more about sort of the co-op number two, or I should say cohort number two, that is, I guess I'm going to hope, is a rendition that is based on learning a whole bunch from the first cohort. So I guess before we roll into everything, I mean, what have you guys been up to? What is the latest and greatest? You guys are involved in like 50 things in Chicago, so that's why I figure we start with that.
Just trying to keep up with you, Scott?
No, I hide out in the suburbs and play golf, and then I hire people to run around wearing Technori shirts, and it looks like I'm everywhere, but I'm really just playing golf.
You're hiding in Italy for 2 weeks.
I was in Italy. That's how busy I am with my tech job, is that I was in Amalfi for 10 days. It was terrible.
That's what we aspire to. It's the Catoon
you
bar.
Travel all over the place. What are you talking about?
Because I'm trying to keep up with you. You set the bar high.
Well, I have no, if you saw me try to keep up and grow the beard, it is the mangiest. It is not good. I only get like about one more day from here, and then the fiance that turns into the wife on Friday was like, that's gone. Yeah. Like, get rid of it immediately. So I will never have the opportunity to test your guys' waters.
After 14 years of marriage, you sort of get immune to the threat of divorce papers. That's
You've
why
been married just, for 14 years?
Yeah.
Are you serious? You look like you're 12.
Well, I am. Yeah. It's,
so you
both
got
are
married
true.
Before you were actually conceived,
pretty much,
which is really, really impressive.
We took arranged marriage just to a whole new level.
Talk about an incubator.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Talking about an incubator. So with that perfect segue into Venture Scale, why don't you guys tell me a little bit, or tell the audience, just say a little bit about what Venture Scale is first, and then let's break into sort of the differentiators. And what I think ultimately will be interesting conversation is around cohort one versus cohort two, which is coming up, and some major announcements and stuff you guys have. But sort of, I think Venture Scale is different than the rest of the accelerators incubators. It's got a very, from the last time I talked to you, Jeff, it's a very focused program.
Yeah.
So why don't you tell everyone what Venture Scale is?
Sure. You know, and you mentioned Sales Assembly a moment ago. So just to kind of clarify, Sales Assembly is the business that we started last summer, which is a community dedicated to the sales leaders and their teams of most of the high growth venture backed B2B tech companies here in the Chicago tech ecosystem. So we basically provide resources, support, knowledge, tools, and a whole bunch of stuff that VPs of sales and chief revenue officers need as their companies are growing and scaling. We work with companies such as Sprout Social and Spot Hero and Dialogue Tech and Active Campaign and G2 Crowd and you know, some of the companies that most have heard of in Chicago. Right. So we started Sales Assembly last year with the intention to really provide some resources and support for these mid-stage high growth tech companies. And what we kept finding was the ecosystem here in Chicago is providing such a fertile ground for early stage companies. So Series A and below, companies that are conceiving some really great technologies, they're coming up with some great ideas, they're growing, they're generating revenue, they're starting to build a team, and they were running into this roadblock, whereas they're generating revenue, they're doing 25-50K a month MRR. They're starting to hire some employees. They're raising a couple of hundred grand of seed capital. But many of the founders of these organizations are not by defined sales leaders, right? They've never functionally served in a sales or sales leadership role. They could do a really, really nice job of selling their product to their buyer. But as far as building the sales organization itself, that's where they run into some trouble. And when you look at taking a company from that stage to Series A and beyond, you know, there's a lot of factors that go into it. But one of the most critical things is implementing a scalable sales and revenue engine for the business, right? And so we saw this need to leverage all the resources and the community that we were bringing together for Sales Assembly and carve out some resources that are focused on that earlier stage community here in Chicago. And that's ultimately what turned into Venture Scale. And as you mentioned, we just wrapped up our first cohort a couple of months ago, gearing up for our second cohort that's coming up in the fall. I'll let Matt share a little bit about some of the experiences that we saw from cohort number one and some of the changes that we're implementing and kind of building out as we continue to grow the brand.
Yeah, we had, as Jeff mentioned, we had our first cohort that went over the course of 90 days earlier this spring. It consisted of nine companies that are all B2B based here in Chicago. And as far as the results that we saw from that, and we'll get into the learnings in a minute, but from a results standpoint, I think it's important to separate those into two different tracks. You know, on the one hand, you have the real world Terra Firma stuff. And on the other hand, you have sort of the intangibles. But going back to the real world stuff, I mean, some examples, you had one company that we helped them overhaul their pricing model, and they saw, you know, a ton of success, much more traction with prospects and with moving opportunities through the pipeline. Once they did that, you had another company that as they were going through and taking absorbing all these learnings through the program, they were fortunate enough to put themselves in a position where their Q2 revenue had eclipsed, you know, their entire Q1 revenue maybe 2 or 3 weeks into the quarter. So just huge amount of traction there. You had another company that had gotten to the point, built out enough infrastructure where they could confidently go and hire 3 or 4 account executives, sales development representatives, and a sales director, something that they didn't really have the confidence to do beforehand. And that actually ties into some of the intangibles. You had the CEO of one of these companies, we were doing a debrief, and she said, one of the most valuable things that I've taken out of this is that I can finally start acting as a CEO. Right. When you're a CEO, a founder, one of these early stage companies, you're sort of living in the weeds day to day. And not only having the confidence to take a step back from all the sales minutiae, from being a part-time account executive, part-time account manager, part-time business development representative, to not only have the confidence to take a step back from that, but have the confidence to take a step back from that and have things actually work after you set them up and you are sort of taking this high-level strategic view. That's something that these CEOs have never had the opportunity to do before. And fortunately, our program was able to provide that level of value where now these founders and CEOs are actually working in their business, or I'm sorry, working on their business versus in their business.
And so the common theme that I see is obviously the company is in a position where they should be able to scale, but they just haven't figured out the sales model, or they haven't figured out maybe the tool and the team, whatever it is. It's about driving revenue, not trying to figure out how to build a pitch deck to raise capital or to
correct
build out your tech or whatever.
Yeah. And so here's the thing with building a scalable sales organization for, you know, a B2B SaaS company. It's, you know, if you look at the spectrum between art and science, it's much more skewed towards the science than an art, meaning there's very specific components and resources and elements that go into building a sales organization where you look at some of the companies I mentioned earlier that we work with at Sales Assembly, you peek under the hood and they sell a different product to a different buyer.
Yep.
But they do a lot of the same things in a very similar way. They use a lot of the same terminology. They incorporate a lot of the same tools and softwares and components. So really what we're, you know, a very high level helping these organizations do is we're helping them put together the framework for building out their sales organization, but in a very packaged, bite-sized way that is more acceptable for an early stage company to go through versus having to take the risk of going out and hiring a very high-priced VP of sales to come in and build something from scratch for them by going through a 90-day program in a cohort format with the support of 8 to 10 other companies, and then 70 to 80 sales and executive mentors that we bring to the table, a lot of one-on-one work, and we put that all together in a nice package program that really puts them in a position to implement those same strategies that companies much further along are working on, but at a very earlier stage.
So I think it's very interesting because we've had many people actually just recently from the sales side of things come on the show. And the main thing that has come away from it from my vantage point is that startups are just not very good at selling. At least actually young people in general aren't very good at selling because they just haven't. I mean, the joke that I've made like every one of the shows is about the fact that they have to get their girlfriends on Tinder. Like they can't even go to a bar and like actually do face-to-face, which actually turns out to work okay because a lot of the SaaS companies now are, like you said before, Jeff, very science, which is important. But I think most companies, if you haven't had a background in this, you wouldn't know how to set up the funnel to begin with. And then you wouldn't know how to use that information to actually turn that into converted sales. And the mistake that all the companies we see through here make, even the successful ones, is the first big expense that they have when they raise capital is they hire some, you know, chief revenue officer or something ridiculous. And that person's like, you're not ready for me. Like, you don't have the infrastructure for me to do what I do. I haven't done ground sales in forever.
Yeah.
And there really isn't a place to turn to that's not a really expensive program to learn that.
Right? Yeah. And, you know, I mean, if you're a founder in that type of situation, you either hire one of these very high priced executive level individuals, or you go out and you start building a small sales team, but you have no idea how to interview them, what qualities to look for. Once you hire them, you have no idea how to compensate them appropriately, how to build and align incentives. And when they're working, you have no idea how to build a robust and effective CRM system. You don't know what type of data you should be collecting
so
as part of the
set. So let's talk about the cohort itself, because you look at one of the things that you just mentioned is the fact you don't even know how to build some of this stuff out. You don't know how to charge, pay the employees to set the pay scale. What are the things that went into cohort one that you guys thought were like fundamental and they were great? And then what were some of the things you learned from it and thought, you know, we should probably adjust this?
Yeah, I think as far as what we learned, I mean, we're keeping the vast majority of the programming that we had during the first cohort in our cohorts going forward. But we learned a couple things. I mean, first of all, we learned that we really have to extend the length of the program. I mean, the first program lasted for 90 days. Our next program and, you know, every program that we foresee going forward is going to last 6 months. So we are essentially doubling the length of the
program. What was the reason there other than just the, I mean, there's obvious reasons of why longer is better, but like, what were the reasons in particular?
Yeah, we, during the first cohort and while effective, Jeff and I don't think that we spent enough time diving into some of the specifics, especially as it revolved around building a sales team. So, for instance, during one of our sessions during our first cohorts, you know, we, of course, touched on the concept and what you need to do in order to build a sales team in general, inside team, outside sales team. During the second cohort, you know, we obviously see the need to separate those. You know, we need to have a dedicated session and bring in some dedicated thought leaders to talk only about building an outside sales team. And we need to do the same about only building an inside sales team. And we need to do the same for developing buyer personas and aligning your sales cycle with your customers' buying cycles. You know, these are things that we did dive into during the first cohort, but not to the extent where we believe it was effective as possible. And that's what Jeff and I are always looking to do, whether it's on sales assembly or venture scale, is how do we optimize everything that we're doing so that the people that come through our programs, the people that attend our sessions, whether it's through sales assembly or going through our cohort at venture scale, that they get the most valuable possible.
And I'll just chime in real quick. And Scott, I know you could agree with this, that sales is hard, right?
Yeah.
Sales is not an easy thing to do.
A lot of things you have to learn before you can even start getting better at it.
Right.
There's a lot of pieces.
There's a ton of pieces, and especially for an organization that has never really built out these components before, you know, one of the reasons for extending the program is not only so we could focus on more functional and tactical elements to increase the breadth of curriculum, but simply allowing our CEOs to spend more time. So not to say that they felt rushed in the first program, but we felt that, you know, by giving ourselves 6 months to implement a lot of these strategies and really taking more of a hands-on approach and really diving in outside of the classroom and making sure that these elements are implemented and put into a place where they could continue to be brought into the culture and the fabric of these companies, 6 months just gives us a lot more opportunity to do that than the 90 days, especially when these CEOs are out fundraising, they're meeting with current customers, they're hiring developers, they're, you know, doing PR, they're doing so many other things.
Yeah.
This is not their full-time job. Sales is just one of the very many that they're focused on. So,
yeah. Which I think one of the things I like about what you're doing that is very needed, I think, is to make, you just mentioned, like, sales is not their full-time job, and, like, obviously not for all CEOs, and not definitely doesn't mean you can't be this kind of CEO. If you're, you know, technical CEO or something is a little different, I think. But for the average person who's starting a business that's non-technical, like for myself as an example, I think sales is my number one job. I think that you don't have to go and raise that much capital and be involved in the constant campaigning if you are just selling your product. I mean, yeah. Like the biggest thing that is missed is this thought of like, well, I've got this great product. They're going to come find me. It's great. And then, you know, once we get a couple of customers in, we'll start building this pipeline. It's like, no, like yeah. you start with the pipeline, start small. If you have to knock on the doors and get the first 3, 4, 5, 6 sales in. And so that you can be like, yes, this is who our customer actually is. Here's what I thought they were, but this is who actually bought our stuff. And then build around it. And what doesn't exist right now until you guys was sort of a system for someone to go learn that stuff.
Sorry, Matt. That's probably one of the most rewarding things that I took away from the first cohort. And obviously, we started the program with certain expectations and anticipation of certain results. But by putting everything into a very formalized system and then giving these founders and CEOs kind of the game plan as to, you know, what to do and how to do it.
Yep.
It worked very well where it's not so much their head is spinning trying to do all these different things, not knowing what's number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in which order, but it's showing them here's how it goes. And every company is different and there's going to be nuances to every business. But for the most part, here's what you do and here's how you do it. And seeing these founders and CEOs embrace that idea and just follow the game plan, we're seeing some of these results that are happening 2, 3, 4 months after the program has ended that are just, it's blowing our mind to see how far these companies have come in their development as executives and organizations. It's really cool to see.
Yeah. And, you know, to put a pin in something that you mentioned or that you were alluding to a couple minutes ago, I mean, at the end of the day, and I forget who originally said it, but customers are your best form of financing, right?
Oh, yeah.
And when you combine that with the fact, sort of further to Jeff's point, I mean, of course, you know, the nature of the early stage tech business is you always are going to be raising money. Very few companies are going to bootstrap. But when you take a look at some of the companies that went through our program and coming into the program, they had no enterprise logos as clients. And, you know, exiting the program and to Jeff's point a couple months later, now you have companies that have 1 or 2 enterprise logos as clients. You have some companies that had come in and their largest deal was, you know, $150,000, $200,000. And now they have multiple 6-figure deals in the pipeline and they've closed a 7-figure deal. You know, if you're an early stage company and you're going out to raise your Series A, how much better of a position does that put you in compared to when you're just haphazardly trying to figure things out earlier?
No, I totally agree with you. So I want to sort of segue into the actual model behind Venture Scale. How does it work? Like, what is the compensation for you guys look like? Obviously, the support and resources are, mm-hmm. are pretty clear what the exchange is for. And then if it's cool with you guys, I would love to just sort of dive into a little bit about like the technicalities of it as you start to transition into your cohort number 2 and stuff like that. So what does it look like if I wanted to join Venture Scale?
Yeah, so if you wanted to join Venture Scale, I mean, of course, like most accelerators, we have an application
process.
But I mean, you know, Jeff and I, similar to the first cohort, we always wanted to make sure that we were building something that we called founder friendly. So with that, we don't ask for any equity in any of the companies.
Just their soul.
Yeah.
We go in and take your essence.
Just their heart.
Yeah,
just their heart.
That's all we
ask for.
Well, actually, that's true. That is all you're asking for, really, is that they bring their heart to it. Because this is a work. I mean, it already sounds like this is a workmanlike program. This isn't a go there and like have people throw slides in your face.
Yeah, no, not at all. I mean, this is pretty intensive, and it only takes an entrepreneur that does have a learning mindset, that does say, hey, I know that I need help at this. Those are the folks that we want to work with. But from a pricing standpoint, you know, we benchmark it. It's, you know, our program is the cost of 1 month's salary of a VP of sales.
Okay.
That these early stage companies, they don't want to, and they probably shouldn't hire at this point in time anyway. As far as what they get for that, as far as the nitty-gritty, the structure, you know, similar to our first cohort, it's a combination of classroom instruction and, as Jeff mentioned, one-on-one work with over 80 right now mentors. And our vast mentor network includes CEOs of tech companies here in Chicago, VCs from most of the VCs and angel groups here in Chicago, and just as importantly, of course, sales leaders from companies like LinkedIn, Sprout Social, Braintree, individuals that not only have built organizations like this in the past, some of them multiple times over, but of course they're here simply because they want to help these companies.
And they're also recruiting too. I mean, they'd like to see, I don't mean just hires, but like tech platforms that potentially are worth an acquisition.
Yeah, absolutely.
So go ahead.
I was just going to mention really quickly, you know, outside of the application, you know, there's specific criteria that we look for, because we do focus on a very specific demographic of company. Not only are they B2B technology, mainly SaaS businesses, but we do, unlike other accelerators that are taking companies that are very, very early stage, like just conceiving their model, they're just going out to raise their first round of capital. That's great. We look for companies that are already experiencing a certain amount of traction.
Yep.
So they have revenue that they're generating.
They have to have something as a baseline that you can work
exactly.
from. Exactly. Like, at the end of the day, like you, I'm not a magician.
Right.
Like, I can't just like sprinkle this, like, oh, you didn't know? This is how you sell.
So we want companies that have been out in the marketplace, they've been testing and experimenting with things. You know, they're doing 30, 40, 50K a month of revenue. They have at least a couple of employees on their team outside of the founding team. They've raised a couple hundred grand at least of outside capital. And as you mentioned earlier, the CEOs come to the table with a mindset where they're looking to learn and build, as opposed to, oh yeah, I've done this before, I know what I'm doing. That might be very true, but they're going to get less out of going through a program like ours versus coming in and saying, teach me what I need to know, help me build this thing out.
So let's talk about cohort number two.
Yep.
What does that look like? I mean, obviously you described the fact it's going to be a lot longer. I think that's a good idea. I think, does that impact the price then that it's longer? I'm sure at some point.
Yeah, the price is changing a little bit, but it's still relatively, you know, conceivable for just about any of the types of companies that we mentioned earlier to be able to afford going through a program like this. And actually, it's pretty interesting. You know, Matt and I have relationships with quite a few family offices and VCs around Chicago, and we've gotten the feedback from a lot of the folks that we know that are actively encouraging and pushing their portfolio companies to apply. Some even going as far as saying, I highly recommend that you go through this program, especially ones that they're currently talking to that they have not decided to work with yet. They want to see these companies go through a program that's going to put them into a position to scale.
I want to see if you can sell your actual product.
Well, like, not only that, but if they're going to invest, you know, $200,000-$400,000 into a business, this is a way for them to solidify an ROI, knowing that, hey, this is going to go into a company that is predisposed to being able to scale and drive revenue versus somebody that I'm just going to cross my fingers and hope I know what they're doing.
Absolutely.
So the price point's, you know, a little bit higher, relatively similar. 10 classroom sessions versus 6, and we're switching out some of the core elements of the curriculum, but we're really diving deep into building a team, talent selection, sales enablement, the sales stack. So like all the nitty gritty that any successful technology company really needs to have their arms wrapped around. But the structural aspect of the program is going to remain the same. Every other week is the classroom sessions. We connect with our founders every other week for one-on-one work to make sure that they're taking the information from the classroom sessions and they're in a position to implement. We're connecting them with mentors every single month. We do stuff outside of the classroom, such as setting up lunches with experts in the community so they can learn and do some fireside chats. We have discounts set up with a number of sales and marketing related vendors that are providing discounts or free services to our cohort companies as they continue to scale. So it's really a holistic approach to every single element they need from a sales standpoint.
Very cool. And then the other question I had as far as like, once I've finished up a venture scale, what does the support system look like for getting involved again, for a new team, for expansion, for new markets? Like what add-on availability is there? Because I feel like one of the things that, at least in my, and again, you guys are not the traditional accelerator incubator model, of course, but one of the things about those models that just like annoys the shit out of me, to be totally honest, is the startup companies come in, they either give equity or they pay, you know, what at the time is a good portion of the money they have. And then when they're done, there's just really no support for them. Like, right. It's like, well, yeah. I need to do this again. And they're like, well, you can't come in. Like, what does it look like?
Yeah. Well, there's a couple of things. I mean, outside of the relationships that, that they would have built with the mentors who are involved in the program, you know, one of the things that Jeff and I do for these companies is we get them involved in the sales assembly community straight away. I mean, not only because it does provide that extra layer of support, but more often than not, companies that are exiting venture scale, they're at a point where being a part of a sales assembly makes sense. And having the opportunity to plug into that community, to take learnings away from the leaders of some of the biggest and most successful tech companies here in Chicago, being able to have access to all the training and continuing education that sales assembly does on a weekly basis has proved invaluable for them.
I know there's some.
And we get to be best friends.
Well, that which is key.
Yeah,
I mean, but nothing better than best friends.
Jeff,
with Matt.
Jeff needs all the best friends he could get. Trust me.
He's got an app for that. It's called CLA. Are you kidding?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Thousands of best friends that are all on the.
Fair point. Right. Yeah, all on paper.
Not even on paper. On digital, right. Could delete them. I could get the delete my history, and that's the end of it. So I guess you definitely have some announcements and stuff to make. One of the things that you just said that kind of was tumbling in my head was like, it's the chicken or the egg? Was it a sales assembly, then venture scale, or was it venture scale then sales assembly? They clearly work together well.
Yeah.
How was that conceived? Is that as a result of one, or like it was like, no, we're going to create levels, or
venture scale? What was definitely a result of sales assembly. I mean, without sales assembly being there. Although Jeff and I, walking into sales assembly, we knew a ton of early stage entrepreneurs and we knew a ton of sales leaders. We knew a ton of investors. But until we had actually built what we had at sales assembly and we started seeing providing the level of value that we were providing to some of the biggest tech companies in towns, the Sprout Socials, the G2 crowds, the Jelly Visions, you know, that was basically the genesis for a lot of these entrepreneurs saying, hey, if you guys are teaching all these companies that from the outside looking in, I mean, they have it figured out. I need some of that knowledge.
Yeah.
It was just that the way that we were delivering the knowledge within sales assembly wasn't appropriate for these early stage entrepreneurs. And that's what, again, was the genesis for Jeff and I sitting down and saying, hey, we should build something that's dedicated just to this demographic.
All right. So we've got announcements also. What is the, other than the cohort and everything else, you guys have dropped a bunch of the names of the companies you guys are working with, which anyone who follows either of you guys on social or the sites, which by the way, it's at Sales Assembly. Where do we follow you guys on all this stuff first off?
At Sales Assembly, Adventure Scale, Shy.
Yeah.
And then we do a lot of stuff on LinkedIn.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I see your stuff on LinkedIn constantly. So that's where you should definitely check you guys out because you're constantly announcing new partnerships, new companies, new speakers and things. You've got a new announcement to come on with now, and that is 1871. Talk a little bit about that.
Sure. So, you know, we're excited to be finalizing a partnership with 1871, which is obviously the leader here in Chicago for all things entrepreneurship within the tech community. We've had a relationship with 1871 for a number of months. And, you know, after Betsy coming in as the new CEO and talking with their team, we realized that there was just so much synergy with what we were building on venture scale and to some extent sales assembly and some of the great things that they've been doing for many, many years here in the Chicago tech scene. So what we're doing is for cohort number two, which kicks off in October, we're officially moving all of the venture scale operations into 1871. We're going to be facilitating all of the classroom sessions out of their facility. We're going to be tapping into a bunch of the other resources that they've already put into place. We're going to be, making sure that we're opening up the opportunity for 1871 companies to be applying into the program. We're going to be figuring out other ways as we go along for continued collaboration. And then also taking a lot of what we already do on sales education and resources and bringing that to the 1871 community, even companies that have nothing to do with Venture Scale or Sales Assembly, but just kind of helping to spread the gospel, if you will, of, you know, building and scaling revenue engines for high growth B2B technology companies. You know, what Matt and I really find a lot of enjoyment out of is by partnering with other organizations. I actually see my friend Caitlin, who runs Catapult, standing outside right now. We have a program coming up with them in a couple of weeks.
Where
we're going to be over there and just facilitating a couple of panel discussions on sales and revenue growth for a lot of the companies over at Catapult. We love doing things like that in the community, and there's just so much natural synergy between what we're building and what 1871 has already done that we're really just excited to see what, you know, putting two of these brands together, what we could accomplish working side by side. I know I speak for Matt when I say we're immensely excited about what we could accomplish together.
Yeah, just taking a step back, I do have a bone to pick with you. I mean, you see us all the time on LinkedIn. I don't see a lot of likes coming through you.
So, I mean,
I just pulled up LinkedIn
you
on my
should.
Phone.
I liked recently.
I don't know if I'm blocked by Scott Catoon, but I don't see any likes, so just...
I will increase my likes.
Some to work on.
I thumb through. I can't tell you where I am usually when I'm thumbing through these things. I'll like more. I'll make sure to like more.
I thought it was interesting, so I wanted to throw that out there.
I actually recall liking a Sales Assembly thing just the other day. I was in the process of standing up, but anyway.
Okay, yeah, I'll look into that. I'll send you an email afterwards if I find it.
You should, or adjust the targeting on some of those things so that, I'm
getting
it. That's
true. Yeah, fair point.
Maybe I'm not getting it.
Yeah.
Very cool. Guys, this is exciting stuff. I love what you guys are doing for, really, I just like that there's more of a focus on sales. I think sales has over the years gotten this like salesy schmalesy kind of like bad rap for it. And it was like, no, that's bad sales. Like, this is smart sales. I think it's hugely important, particularly in Chicago, where I think we hang our hat on the B2B stuff. And I think that that's kind of where we're going to continue to hang our hat. And all of the time and money really spent on trying to develop startup companies in Chicago and leaving sales off. The other day I saw yet another pitch deck that had no sale. That wasn't even, there was nothing in the deck. It didn't even address revenue. Like and this happens all the time. Right. Like it says like, here's our projections. And then the next slide is like, here's our team.
Yeah.
There's no sales, nothing, no marketing strategy, nothing. And I think I don't think it's an accident. I don't think it's just a random coincidence. I think it's because we've not had anyone come through and like, no, we're focused on sales.
Yeah.
And you guys are that. So
yeah.
I
big
really
need.
Think
we're filling it. You know, Matt and I are certainly not the smartest guys in the room ever.
True.
But we saw a need. We knew that there was an opportunity to really help the ecosystem as a whole. We're just kind of trying to play our small part and helping Chicago and the Midwest continue to build and grow as an overall community. We've obviously seen a lot of traction in the first year with Sales Assembly and Venture Scale. We're excited for what's next. And we're excited about partnerships that we have with all the great organizations throughout Chicago, just like yourself, Scott, and Technori. And it's just really great to see the community come together for all these different initiatives, whether it's Technori or it's 1871.
Everyone's finding their spot.
It's great. It's
which
great
is like
to see.
The right signs for
there's
for
a lot
Chicago.
Of momentum. I'm really excited. I'm really bullish about the Midwest tech ecosystem, not only in Chicago, but you know, our friends in Indianapolis and Detroit and St. Louis.
Detroit's
and
kicking ass right now.
There's
too.
A lot of cool stuff going on right now in the flyover states.
I noticed the Venture Scale shy, so that would indicate that there will be a Venture Scale other.
That is a correct assumption. Good call. Yeah,
boom.
It's on the docket.
Boom.
Yeah, mic drop. That's what I'm here for. Is bold predictions, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to come out and talk to us.
Thank you, Scott. We appreciate it.
Of course, you can catch this episode and more at technori.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or you can follow me at Catoon. Boom. That's a wrap.